وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله أحسن الجزاء as always for your beautiful du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choices blessings on you, Hazrat Maulana Salim Saab. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات كانت لهم جنات الفردوس نزلا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, today we bring to you the story of Hazrat Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, the son of Affan. His name is Uthman. His title is Dhun-Nurayn, which means the possessor of two lights, because he got married to the two daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His father's name was Affan and his mother's name was Arwa. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu's lineage meets with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the fifth level at Abd Manaf. He was born 6 years after the year of the elephants. It is gauged from different sources that contrary to the Arab trend at the time, he had learned to read and write. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu would remain crying most of the time out of Allah's fear. He would be constantly thinking about death, the grave, and the year after. When a funeral passed by him, he would stand up immediately and tears would flow spontaneously from his eyes. When he passed by graves, he would cry to the extent of causing his beard to become wet. And he would say that this is the first stage from the stages of the year after. He joined Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in almost all the battles and demonstrated his loyalty and devotion to him by offering his life for him. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to endure poverty and hunger for 4 days. When he came to know of it, tears flowed from his eyes and he immediately went and presented a large amount of food, supplies, and 300 dirhams to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was extremely mindful of showing respect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the extent that the hand which he had used to pledge bay'ah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never used thereafter to touch any impurity or any place of impurity. Subhanallah. The essential consequences of his intense love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that he was fully mindful of emulating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every statement, action, moments of activity and inactivity, and even coincidental matters. Once he was performing wudu, ablution, and he began smiling. So people asked him for this untimely smile. So he said, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiling in this way when he was performing wudu on one occasion. Modesty was a distinguishing quality of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates, his shame and modesty was of such a level that he would not remain unclothed even in a closed room. He was absolutely humble and simple. Although he had numerous slaves in his house, he would do all his work on his own. He would not trouble anyone to do it for him. If he got up at night for tahajjud and no one else was awake, he would get all his wudu necessities on his own without disturbing anyone.
He was delivering the Friday sermon one day when he heard someone saying, "O Uthman, repent and desist from your injustices." Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala turned towards the Qibla immediately, raised his hands and said, "Allahumma inni awwalu ta'ibin taba ilayk." O Allah, I'm the first one to turn to you in repentance. He always gave preference to others with regard to the wealth of Baytul Mal. During his entire Khilafat, he did not take a single seed from it for his personal use. In so doing, he left his salary for the use of the Muslim masses. As Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was among the wealthiest Arabs, all the wells of Medina were producing brackish water. Bir al-Ruma, a well owned by a Jew, was the only well which produced sweet water. With a view to benefiting the public, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu purchased it for 20,000 dirhams and endowed it to the Muslims. It is said that he purchased it first for 12,000 dirhams, and the arrangement was the Yahud was that one day he will use it, and the alternate day by the Yahud. When it was his turn, he never charged for water, so everybody would just come on the day it was his turn to take all water from the well. And when the Yahud saw this here, then the Yahud had no option but to sell his remaining portion to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu for another 8,000 dirhams. When the Muslim population increased and Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam became small for such large numbers, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu spent a large amount of his own money for its extension. He is given the title Dhun Nurain because he married two of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's daughters, one after the other. They are Sayyidina Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha and Umme Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha. He used to spend the days fasting and the nights in worship. He would only rest for a short while in the first part of the night. Most of the time, he would recite the entire Quran in one rakat. When delivering sermons, he would be wearing a coarse adani shawl, a shawl from Aden, which cost just four or five dirhams. He would feed ordinary people as though they were kings, while he himself would go to his house and eat vinegar and oil. Glory be to Allah. Look at the level of his abstinence and piety. It is a lesson for all of us. If we cannot practice on it, we can at least bear in mind that we have to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his bounties and favors. Poetry was also firmly embedded amongst the Arabs, even in the children. However, then could Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala not be excluded from it? He knew many poems from memory, and he would quote them whenever the occasion demanded. Hisham ibn Urwa says that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala used to relate the most. He would quote five poems at a time on a single occasion. His poems were filled with admonition. He said on one occasion, "The person who takes enjoyment from prohibited things should know that their enjoyment comes to an end, but their sin and blemish remains. The disappearance of unlawful enjoyment does not cause its evil consequences to disappear. What good then is there in enjoyment which results in the hellfire?" He said on another occasion, "The contentment of the soul causes man to become unconcerned. No matter what adversity he experiences, it is not going to remain forever. Adversity is always followed by ease. Thus, be patient no matter how severe the adversity." Apart from his edicts, correspondences, and sermons, whatever conversation he engaged in was filled with eloquence, rhetoric, and subtle references. These statements are scattered in the books of history and literature. For example, when he was besieged, he wrote a message to Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, which was filled with eloquence, rhetoric, and emotion. And he said, "It must be clear to you that the water has now raised above my head, and the saddle belts have fallen behind the camel's udders." These are famous Arab modes of expression to inform one of an impending dangerous occurrence. "Such people are bent on killing me who can not protect their own selves. Then one of his teachings was as follows also. If you trade with Allah Ta'ala, you will make a lot of profits. There is no question of making a loss. He also said, servitude entails upholding the orders of Allah Ta'ala, fulfilling promises which are made to people, being content with whatever one receives, and exercising patience of what one does not receive. Worry over this world causes darkness, while worry and concern for the hereafter causes nur and illumination. The sign of a pious person is that he considers everyone to have attained salvation, while he himself is to be destroyed. Humility. Glory to Allah. Look at the lesson of self-effacement. May Allah Ta'ala make us like this. Another occasion he said, the worst destruction is when a person is given a long life, but he does not make preparations for the journey to the hereafter. We must ponder on the statement. The grave shall be a place of comfort for the one for whom this world was a prison. Obviously, if a person considers this world to be a prison, he will be content with the restricted livelihood of this world, because the more constriction he experiences here, the more comfort he will experience in his grave. If your hearts become purified, you will never be satiated by reading or listening to the Quran. You will always want to read and listen to it. During the days when he was besieged, people asked him, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, you are not in a position to go to the masjid. And so, one of the rebels becomes the imam in the masjid. Should we offer salat behind him or not? He replied, Salah is a good deed. When you see people doing good deeds, you must join them. Yes, do not join them in evil deeds. Glory be to Allah. What a balanced and equitable teaching. Only a righteous Khalifa could have taught such a thing. Then there are some sermons which he delivered in different ways on the subject of the fleeting nature of this world and the everlasting nature of the hereafter. Let us listen to them. It will be of great benefit to us. After praising Allah Ta'ala and sending salutations to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, the burden of the Khilafah has been placed on me and I accepted it. Listen, I am one who follows the Sunnah. I am not one who initiates Bid'ah. Listen, after following the Quran and Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I have three rights over you all. When the Muslims are unanimous on a particular matter, you cannot follow the past peoples. When the Muslims do not agree on a matter, you must follow the righteous amongst them. I will not inflict any punishment on you unless you commit an act which makes you eligible for punishment. Listen, the world is like a beautiful woman who makes people desirous of her and by whom many have been seduced. Do not incline to the world. Do not hanker after it, and do not rely on it, because it is not worthy of reliance. Remember, the world leaves a person who does not bother about it. In the second sermon, he says, after praising Allah Ta'ala and sending salutations to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, understand well, Allah Ta'ala gave you this world so that you may use it as a preparation for the hereafter. He did not give it to you so that you become part and parcel of it. Without doubt, the world is fleeting and the hereafter is everlasting. Beware, do not place your reliance on something fleeting by remaining distant from something which is eternal. Give preference to the eternal over the temporary, because you will certainly have to leave the world behind and go to Allah Ta'ala. So fear Allah Ta'ala, because this fear acts as a shield against his grasp and is a means to gain his proximity. O people, Allah is most self-respecting. Remain on your guard. Do not abandon your group. Do not separate yourselves. Do not forget Allah's favor on you when you were enemies to each other and Allah Ta'ala united your hearts and made you brothers to each other by virtue of his mercy. In a third sermon, he said, one of the sermons, after praising Allah Ta'ala and sending salutation to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, you are passing your lives in this world of various activities. Make the best of your remaining life by doing good deeds. You came into this world, passed the morning in it, and passed the evening in it. Remember, this world is a smokescreen of deception. Take admonition from those who have passed on. Strive and work hard. Do not become heedless, because it will not be tolerated. Where are all the sons and brothers of this world who were in love with this world, who inhabited it and took enjoyment from it for a long time? Did the world not cast them out? You should also cast the world where Allah Ta'ala cast it and seek the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala explains this world and what is better than it that is the hereafter in the following verse of the Noble Quran. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Set forth to them the similitude of this worldly life, like water which we send down from the skies. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu's khilafat lasted for 12 years. The rebels had laid siege to his house for 49 days. Imagine the person who bought a well for the Muslims. At that particular time, wasn't even given water to drink. Rebels had laid siege to his house for 49 days. They eventually martyred him on 18th of Zilhijjah in the year 35 AH, while the Quran was open before him and he was reciting it. His blessed grave is in Jannatul Baqi, the graveyard of Medina Munawwara. May Allah Ta'ala be pleased with him and may his grave be illuminated. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.